Welcome to Opening Presents, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Ray Thatch. He's a chef, entrepreneur, and hospitality extraordinaire. In this conversation, Ray shares his journey of transformation through trusting his inner guidance and seeing firsthand how every experience is meant to teach us a valuable lesson. We also dive into how Ray got his start in the restaurant industry and the art of providing a one-of-a-kind experience. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presents. Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining us. It is a gloomy day in Portland, Oregon, but we got a view in a corner apartment with Ray Thatch. What's good?
Life is good, man. Life is good. I can't complain about anything right now.
Yeah, How you doing, bro? You're shining, bro. You're shining out here.
Oh, man. It all comes together at once, man. It all comes together at once. You know, you never can complain, but you never expect it. You know, just got to be grateful.
That's most really definitely. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me over here. And this is like, I don't want to say long overdue, because I think with us, it's definitely like perfect timing. There's always like an appreciation, at least like whenever you're around, I'm like, oh, it's about to be fun. It's about to be connected and real.
Yeah.
First
yeah.
and foremost.
Yeah,
it's
I can
just
agree.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a lot of force when you get around certain people. Like, you can tell sometimes in situations when people are trying too hard and when people are comfortable in their own skin. And that's something that I recognized early on, that you are comfortable in your own skin. And it's hard not to want to be around that. So thank you.
Yeah, man. I mean, I just feel like that's something you just kind of grow into over time. You know, like even when I can just think about like days before like the pandemic, like, you know, I'd be out here, you know, just kind of forcing it. You know, I think that time where you're like forced to sit down and kind of sit with your thoughts and kind of reflect on what you've been doing lately and what you really kind of want to move into.
Mm.
I think that kind of moves you to a point where you start to think like, yeah, man, I gotta come back out here and start moving different. And I think, you know, coming out here to Portland in a new environment allowed me like a fresh, you know, start to just come out here and just really say, okay, what do I want to focus on? What kind of energy am I trying to bring to every situation? And I mean, it's appreciated for you to acknowledge that, you know, from the interactions that we've had.
Thank you. Yeah. What do you feel like you've let go of in the past? Because like a lot of the times people think that we have to acquire new things and we have to become something and build something. But do you feel like you've let go of something that maybe you held on to when in your previous life?
I think it's a couple things. I think first and foremost, a lot of ego got off board, you know, in that time period that I was spending by myself, you know. I don't know. I mean, I would say, you know, I'm still a very confident individual. I still feel like, you know, anything I really get out here and try and get after for real, I got a chance at, you know, achieving. But, you know, as far as like coming into it, expecting that I should be awarded certain things, or I should be given certain treatment simply because of, you know, either past things that I've done or, you know, just how I feel like I carry myself, you know. I think that was the first thing, and, you know. Secondly, I think I kind of stopped forcing situations in, like, all realms of life. So, like, relationships, work, everything, you know, just, like, you know, who I'm hanging out with, where I'm going, how long I'm staying where I'm going. You know, you always feel like you get out there and you just got people dragging you around from place to place. I'm somebody quick, you know, you'll see it on my face. Like, yeah, I'm about to have to get up out of here. I'm not feeling it today. It's over. It's over quick. So I think those are the two main things, you know, I think when I think about it that I've really had to let go of.
Yeah, that's awesome. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Edwardsville, Illinois. It's right outside of St. Louis, like 15 minutes outside of there on the Illinois side. You know, real rural area. I would say predominantly white. I always joke that the first Hispanic person I was ever in school with wasn't until college, you know.
Mm.
And then I think back and there was like, I think maybe one Hispanic girl. You know, I went, Edwardsville's like a college town, but it's like the smaller version of Southern Illinois is there in Edwardsville. And it was like 15 minutes from my house. You know, we had like a lot of, you know, like Middle Eastern white people and, you know, a few black people. But that was pretty much the breakdown there. As far as school, I went to like private school a lot, like growing up, like Catholic grade school. I actually ended up graduating from a Lutheran high school. But I would say, you know, when I went to public school in the middle there, that's when I really, you know, like started to get a sense of identity, you know, as you start to get around, you know, like black people and like different races, even just like more of the Middle Eastern people, you know, you start to get a vibe for who you are and how you're going to move kind of. Because, I mean, I think it's interesting, you know, just like growing up in a situation like with mostly white people. Because, like, my family, my whole family's from East St. Louis, like, Illinois, you know. East St. Louis is, like, rough, you know, and it's, like, it's black. So, you know, like, my family wanted to give me and my brother, you know, like, a leg up. So they moved us to this place. That's a conversation me and my aunt always have, you know, like, what were the advantages and disadvantages of moving into that situation for us? But ultimately, I mean, if we would have never made that move, I probably would never be the person I am today, you know.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I grew up in a predominantly like white, there's a lot of Hispanic people in San Diego and a lot of like black people, but kind of dispersed in like pockets in certain areas. But that idea of like trying to create identity without like the parts necessary to understand self completely, like not being with like your family, like everybody to kind of like instill the stories and the lessons that they had. And you kind of have to like piece it together. I look at like kids in school. It's like, we're basically like learning who we are in the world by the other kids that we're around. Facts. And the lessons that their parents are teaching them and handing down to them. So we're being taught by like the middleman from all these white parents, and their kids are treating us a certain way. And we think that we are like close or whatever, but it's like our sense of identity is dependent upon these children essentially that are around us, these white kids. And I've had many, many traumatic experiences having white best friends and didn't know that like their dad was like a racist, and I'm like going out to lunch with them and shit. Yeah, and man, he's just like a little sneaky, like disrespectful shit. And I'm like 10 and not knowing that this man low-key fucking hates me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, I can definitely, you know, connect with that, you know. Even just, you know, like growing up in that Southern Illinois area, you know, it's a lot of like I guess, I don't know, the easiest way to put it is to say like I have racist friends, you know, like individuals who I know are racist, but it's just like, you know, I've known you for so long and, you know, we've gone through so many different scenarios in life, whether it be like a sports team or like, you know, like a social group in college or something of that nature. It's just interesting to think like the older you get, how wild that is, that you just like accept that, you know, that's just who these people are. But a lot of your identity is based off of your interactions with these people and their families.
For real. And to that point, like I let go of all those people. Like I actually just got a text today from one of my friends who similarly like excommunicated from like that friend group. And he was like, am I the only person that receives video messages ranting about white like racist ideologies, or is it like, do you get these messages? I'm like, no, I don't get those messages, because he knows not to come around here. Like, I had to cut that line and just allow the psychosis to brew in isolation for them, because it's like, yo, it's like I can't participate in this.
Yeah, I 100% get it though. I mean, and when I think about it, I think that's why, you know, like I made the moves that I did make, you know, like leaving from high school. Like I left high school, went to an HBCU Hampton, because I wanted to go there and be around, you know, the extreme of black people. And, you know, I loved it, you know, like we'd have like 10 to 2 in the student center. It'd be like a DJ. It'd be like a party, you know, like you go to class, it's 13 to 1, just beautiful black women, something I've never really been exposed to, you know, like growing up. And then it's like, you know, like transferring from there back to Southern Illinois, you know, like I guess a bigger school in general, you know, more of a public school. But I mean, it's like you fall back into, you know, the habits that you were in when you're in high school. And then it's like, eventually I got out of there and just went straight to LA. 'Cause I was like, whoo, yeah, I'm just right now just getting stuck in like this small town like mentality and like just the routine of, you know, Tuesday we're gonna go to this bar, Wednesday we're gonna go to this bar, Thursday this bar, you know, and then it's like Sunday fun day, all of it, it just starts back up, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think just to have those opportunities and, you know, have people come into my life and allow me to be able to go from, you know, like that situation straight to LA, and then from like LA to Chicago, and then to be in Chicago and be able to just pick up and move out here, you know, just I think all of that is a blessing, because I always think where my life would be at if I weren't able to make those moves.
Mm. Where do you think like the self-awareness and the knowingness that things need to change? Because it doesn't seem like, it's definitely not running from anything. It's like running to like something new and exciting and that's life affirmative. But where do you feel like that initial part of self-awareness of being like, oh, like I'm not satisfied in this situation, let's go see if I can work something out. Was that taught to you or something that you learned along the way?
I think it's more so just something I learned along the way. Like you just get a vibe for it. I mean, if you're honest with yourself, in most situations, you can feel them coming to an end. There are some things that are abruptly going to, you know, like switch up and you're going to get like caught. But I mean, for the most part, like you feel it. Like it's like you're in the bar on Wednesday and you're just sitting there and, you know, you got a $2 picture of Natty Light and you're like, man, what am I doing with myself? You know, and you're like thinking like, you know, career moving, like, what do I want to do? You know, and I mean, the initial jump for me was the one from there in, I guess, Southern Illinois to LA, I think would be the first big jump. I mean, going to college, you know, in Virginia, that's big. But for me, it's like that was with a group, you know, like I'm going there to go to school. It's going to be surrounded by other people who are in the same situation as me, you know. The move to go to LA was actually prompted by a funeral. One of my older brothers, you know, friends of the family, his mother had passed away. And at one point when I was down in Virginia, I had like stayed with them, you know, before I went to the airport or something. So, you know, I was very appreciative of that. So I went home for the funeral and I was just sitting there and I was talking to him, and he was like, him and his girlfriend, they were like, you should just come out to LA, you know. And I stayed with him, and his girlfriend gave me a job working at the Lucky Brand, which happened to be like right down the street from like a Cheesecake Factory, which I ended up like working at. But, you know, just like even having that split second to stay there to then be able to reach out to a friend of mine from college who had moved out to L.A. and ended up staying with them, you know, it's just all of that is just a blessing. Because, you know, without those things, you know, once those things fell apart and I ended up, you know, like having to kind of figure it out for myself, I realized how much of a blessing it was to initially have those situations, you know, moving out there with L.A. being such a hard city to move to.
Most definitely. That's like, I'm not a corny dude, but when the universe meets you halfway just by your efforts and the willingness to show up, like you see it working in your life and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so damn grateful, because every single time you decide to put yourself out there, there's some energy or a situation, it just lays up right in your lap and you're just like, oh, there is a God.
Man, and you just have to go with the feeling, because if you lean in, if you like really lean in on things and just be like, it's got to work out. Like, it's got to work out. It's going to work out, you know, like it's going to work.
Yep.
it finds a way. It always finds a way, you know.
Dude, that's it. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's just like people would just say that shit, but it's just like the people that don't believe it say it. But when you really, really like have that belief, which is something that I am like stepping into more fully each and every day, and just that like, oh, it's gonna happen because I said so type of thing, not arrogantly, but it's just like, this is what I want to happen, so why shouldn't it happen?
Exactly.
And just allowing it to happen and knowing that there aren't like any forces that are like wishing for my demise. Like, people are doing their own shit. People are so selfish doing their own thing. Nobody gives a damn what I'm doing over here. So why would I like self-sabotage myself and not go for the thing that I want to go for when nobody's like, nobody cares?
They're not even thinking about you. It's so funny. And you like build this whole narrative in your head, like all these people don't want me to succeed and I got to make it so I can show them. No, make it for the people that helped you do it.
Yeah. Like, and the people that are like are looking to help and want to have a purpose. Like, that's what I look around. Like, I think I saw like a Issa Rae thing when she was like, yeah, I stopped like trying to like look for like the big the big badasses that are successful to try to work for them and trying to impress them. Mm-hmm. But it's like, who are the people around me that are ambitious and that want something to do and want to be a part of something? And like, not everybody has like that fully actualized vision, but like, if you give them something that they can help you with, it's an experience and it could jumpstart their own creative process. So I'm like looking around, like, who's ready to like build something? And it's not like a huge thing. Like, maybe I'll have a couple of dollars to pass you. If not, it'll be a cool experience and something you've never experienced before. And who knows what that can turn into. And the more I was willing to do that when I first moved to Portland, my friend Quaz had this startup called The Collab, which is like a photography, like media company, and just held like a lot of like public offerings as far as just getting people like in the door of like how to shoot photos and stuff. But he posted on his story, like, shooting, or I need a photographer for this event in downtown when Fortune was in Chinatown. And I saw it on Instagram. I had just started taking photos like a week before, and I'd never done an event before. And I was like, oh, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to see if I can shoot this event. And I show up, like, I had to borrow a camera. I had to drive all the way across the city, picked up a camera, drove all the way downtown and met Quaz, and he was super solid. And he was just like, all right, like, go shoot. And it's like the learning by doing aspect of it that, that I feel like we learn the most, but we just like avoid those situations. It's just, you just got to kind of just jump into it and then trust that the new experience is going to open a part of you that is willing to see opportunities as they arise.
Yeah. And I mean, you really spoke to exactly the thing that I always say when people ask me about Portland. It has been such a blessing to come here. I mean, I came here on a coin flip between here and San Diego, coincidentally. Hey,
you made the right choice.
Oh, man, it was so funny when it happened. I landed on it. I went to like go get like the truck to like move my stuff. And even like when I got there, I was like, yeah, I'm going to San Diego. And I was like, no, I'm going to Portland. I gotta go with it. But since I've been here, I've never lived anywhere or been anywhere where you just feel like such a support for anything that you really want to do. If you're really willing to step out, you know, right, give it a legitimate effort, the people out here will show up for you every time. And it's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. And I mean, it's almost like you're in awe when you think about it, because you're like, I didn't know these people. I don't even know this person. This person is simply moving off the strength of what this person has told them. Mm-hmm. This person told them that this is what I'm doing, and boom, this person is like, yes, I'm going to support that.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it, man. So it's interesting for you to say like that with the camera and everything, you know. I remember Brett's birthday, I had got a flat tire the day before, and when I went to go pick up my car the day of, closed. A random person out here gave me a ride, picked me up with all of the stuff for Brett's birthday, everything to cater to the thing, gave me multiple trips. Someone I didn't know a year before gave me multiple trips over there and made sure I got everything there. Even wow. Just thinking about that relationship and how I know him and how I've been able to meet all of those people over there. You know, I was doing 2-3 events a month, which, I mean, for me, I was, you know, like, yes, this is amazing. You know, like, this is a nice tempo to carry up, you know, for like the last 4 months of the year. And it's like, those were all just relationships, you know. There was no website, there was no Instagram page, you know. Even like, you know, when I did the brunch, you know, like, there really wasn't a post. It's like, you know, I'm selling tickets, you know, I'm trying to make some money for Capital, you know. People showed up and showed out. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing, man.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it is wild when just like, yo, who are you? Like, I remember like walking, like playing basketball in the park, and a dude like walked up like from a way other side of the park and just mm-hmm. walks over to me and like, hey, like, you're Aaron, right? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Like, you're the meditation guy, right? I'm like, yeah. Like, I'm like, it's so like humbling too, though, because it's just like that your message lands and like the energy that you're putting out lands and like it's received and affecting the lives of others. It's like, that's what we're here to do. Like, 100%. That's what we're all here to do, is like tap into that inner, like, unlimited resource of love or creative capacity and just share it with people and inspire people to do and find their well of unlimited potential. So you talked a little bit about brunch and stuff, but if we can kind of like backtrack a little bit and talk about kind of like your introduction into like hospitality and like how you're creating that wherever you go.
All right.
I guess.
No, I mean, no, it's such a journey when I think back on it. It's pretty much been my whole life. So I mean, like growing up, you know, my grandma raised us, my aunt and uncle, you know, were big players in the picture. But like Saturdays, you know, my aunt would be off work. She's a doctor, you know, and we'd be like going to the store with her. So we're like in Sam's, like buying all this food and, you know, like cooking Thanksgiving dinner. You know, like I may go downstairs, bust your ass in 2K and then come back upstairs and have to help make the yams, you know, like that's Thanksgiving at my house in a nutshell, you know, like I've always been in it. So, you know, when I turned 15, you know, you go get a job at like Sonic and all that kind of stuff. So I can think back. Really where I started to get an edge to me about it was a summer job after my freshman year of college. I came back home and I was already working at daycare at the YMCA and I picked up a second job at Ponderosa. And you know, like in high school, I was class president and like all these like things that would tell you that I'm obviously a social individual. When I went to Ponderosa, they made me the dishwasher.
Ooh.
And they wouldn't let me wait tables. I was like, there's a guy in here who dropped out of high school who's waiting tables. Come yeah. on, man. You know, like not to shade, but like you got to throw some shade. So it's like at that point, I got an edge to me. And I was like, nah, man. And I was like, if I'm going to do this, it's like, man, I'm going to have to move up. So then I get to college, you know, I'm like hanging out with these girls. They're going out to the bar all the time and stuff. And I'm like, where do y'all get this money from to go out all the time? And they're like, oh, we work at Chili's. We get tips. I'm like, you're not making those kind of tips at Chili's to be out here drinking like that. Sure enough, you know, you go get the job at Chili's, you're making tips. So, you know, like my interest, like growing up has always been, you know, like in the back of the house, like the cooking, all of that. But really just because of who I am naturally, you know, I always end up in the front of the house. So it's like, you know, I go like from there being a server. I end up going over to another place. I'm serving there. One of the bartenders doesn't show up. Now I'm bartending. Mm. Now I have bartending experience. It's to the point where I'm like doing the liquor order and all of that. So then when I get out to L.A., I got that job at the Cheesecake Factory. And I was working there for a while. And I mean, people always joke about Cheesecake. But I mean, the thing about that place is, you know, the menu is 15 pages long. And they change it every 3 months or some crazy stuff. So it's like you're learning a lot of stuff and you getting like exposure to seeing people doing a lot of things in a lot of stations. So I left there and I went to this place called Great Maple and I got really involved there. You know, that was like the first time where it like felt like I was like a part of like a team.
Yeah,
team,
like a family.
Know? Yeah, I was there. We opened it. So, you know, it's like, man, you know, shout out to Danny, Sylvia, you know, my favorite managers of all time, maybe. Danny and Sylvia opened it and, you know, they really let me like get involved in the process. And, you know, like I'm like starting to help out with like banquets and stuff. So at that point I'm working there and I hear that they're going to open a Tao, you know, like the Tao nightclub or whatever in Chicago. So on a whim, I'm like, I'm just going to go out to Chicago. I'm going to move from LA to Chicago. You know, I'm going to move out with my friend who lives in Wrigleyville. It's right in August, so it's right in baseball season. You know, the Cubs are looking solid. You know, maybe going to play the Brewers to get in the playoffs. So I was like, I'm showing up perfect time.
Yeah.
Life throws you a wrench. I'm at a party that they threw me at. This girl has this crazy house out in Pasadena. Pool wraps around the side of the house. Her dad has, like, Emmys and stuff in the basement, rope swing and all this. So we're having a great night. A great night. And I decide I'm going to run and jump in the pool at the end of the night in like my full outfit. I showed up my last day to work in a full suit like I was in the NBA. Wow. So I'm like, I'm jumping in the pool in the suit. I go to jump in the pool. I hit my head on the side of the pool, right?
Wow.
Cracked the back of my head open. Scarred this big to this day in the back of my head. So it's like bleeding and stuff. And I'm like, oh man, I gotta go to this interview, right? So I had to like delay my fight for a couple of days. But I mean, it ended up not being like a serious injury or anything. I didn't even get stitches for it. We just let it heal, you know, over time. But anyway, I go to the interview at Tao. I kid you not, with a hole in the back of my head. It's literally still like bleeding throughout the day.
Wow.
And I walk in the room and, you know, I walk in a suit and, you know, I'm facing them and I'm making sure that I'm always turning nobody can really get a vibe on it. And they sit me in a corner booth. It works out perfect. So I end up getting hired, you know, but, they had already done like the initial hiring, so I'm kind of on hold. So I start working at this like little pizza spot called D'Agostino's over in Wrigleyville. And eventually I go over to Tao. And I mean, really, it's probably the most expansive situation I've ever been in. You know, like my brother, he was working at Spago, which is like Wolfgang Puck's restaurant out in Beverly Hills when we were in LA. And, you know, seeing that, I knew I needed to go somewhere that was like big and did it on a large scale. But I mean, that kitchen is bigger than my apartment and this whole. So just to think about that, they have a nightclub upstairs. So it's like I really get to see it. And it's like for the first time, I'm not like the guy. You know, it's like I'm like mid bottom, you know, it's like I don't really have any knowledge on Asian food, anything. And it's like at a point you like start to get discouraged because it's like you're not used to not being the guy. You're not used to making mistakes, but just kind of sticking through that, you know, I get to like the holiday season and then, you know, like we really get into banquets and things of that nature. And it's like, you know, I start to get like an idea and I already kind of have like a natural eye for these kind of things, just kind of how I grew up. My aunt always is like the person who throws the party, hosts the party, whatever, at her house. So, you know, just getting into banquets, I ended up leaving there and going to this place called Offshore, which is like out in Navy Pier. And when I'm out there, I'm probably working like 2 weeks on the floor and then I start getting moved like directly into just doing the banquets all together.
Yeah. Like it's like restaurants and venues. It's like you kind of like whoever's there, like that's who you're rolling with at all times. And it's like a lot of the times it's like you're short staffed or whatnot. But before we dive into that, like into the story even more, it's like I just have huge respect for people that are in the service industry and that like working kitchens that don't get the thank you. Yeah. Like there's a resilience that comes with it. And it's like, I like had my first cooking job before I moved to Portland. It was probably the reason why I moved to Portland. It was like, oh, I can't be flipping burgers over here. Like, like having like my racist friends out there, like looking at me being like, that's where you belong type of shit.
Yeah.
Energy. Like, and I was like, I'm done with this. But then I was like, let's escape the kitchen. But then as soon as I got to Portland, it was like, well, I can work the line. So I got a job at Victoria Bar. And it's like, yo, if you need a place to land, it's like, find yourself a fucking kitchen. Like when I run through worst case scenario in my head, I'm like, if I ever ended up on the street, I'm going to the nearest restaurant and asking if I can wash dishes, which means I have a job, which means money comes in, and I have food. Mm-hmm. Those are two very, very important things if I ever were to become homeless.
So I used to work with a guy at Chili's. He used to always say, if you come to work and you leave hungry, you messed up.
Yeah.
Like, there's food here.
Yeah. There's
figure
hella,
it out,
there's
man.
Hella food. There's hella food. When did you start, like, expanding upon your idea of what hospitality is, because you had all the experiences like behind the bar, at the dishwasher, and like kind of finding your own voice throughout this journey?
I would say maybe when I got here, you know. Honestly, you know, I had time to like really sit down and think about like what it is that I like about the work, you know, because I mean it's a grind, so you have to love something about it. Like you have to be like OCD and be obsessive to really be good at it. You have to like love what it is you're gonna do, because you're gonna be there all day, you know. Like some of these places that like I started to move up in, you know, it's because I'm there all day, you know. Like I'm always there. Like I'm thinking, like I can go to some of these restaurants and I can look and like they have the same like wicker baskets that I have in my bedroom with like my clothes in them. It's because I bought those. Like I told them, like, we should get these, put this in here, you know. It's like I'm somebody, like once I get involved, like I have to be all the way involved. But like moving out here, you know, like I start to build my social group, and it's like I have this skill set and no one knows it is the interesting thing about
it. Are we known?
Yeah, at this point. But I mean, when I first came out here, you know, it's like I'm showing up to like people's houses and they're like, oh yeah, you know, well, it's going to be a little Taco Tuesday. You know, you can bring some if you want to. So it's like, okay, yeah, I'll get my bag real quick.
Yeah, say less.
So it's like, you know, like I'm showing up with it, but it's like, you know, I'm showing up with like the whole setup, you know, like I got like the dish and then like the trivet to put it on and all. Like,
you flew down to Oaxaca to get some Oaxacan cheese, came back.
It's like I have all the go with. So it's like, you know, you start talking to people, you know, shout out to, you know, one of the first people I ever met out here, Kevin McDowell. You know, Kevin just, you know, puts the motor in your back. You know, if you ever had a conversation with this dude, you know, he's going to get you gassed about whatever it is.
I want to meet him because I hope to think that I'm that type of person for others, but it's like, yo, like I need that shit too.
That I would definitely make that introduction, because that's definitely, it's been far too long for y'all not to know each other. But anyway, it's like, you know, just like going and, you know, being around Kevin. It's like, you know, Kevin is seeing me bring these things. He's like, bro, he was like, man, you should be doing this. You should be catering. You know, you're doing that. And just like, you know, you start to think, you're like, yeah, I should.
You're damn right.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a couple more. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I could. Let me put a little invoice together and start getting on the phone.
Get a fryer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, get a little double fryer, you know. It's so funny coming back here with all this stuff, though, like at night, you know, because like I'll just be in here, you know, like coming home from the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning, like making a whole feast, man. Mm. Yeah.
What are the things that you grew up cooking? Like, what was like the go to?
Oh, man. You know, like, I would say a majority of the time growing up, you know, it was a lot of barbecues. You know, I'm from St. Louis, so, you know, it's like ribs, snoots,
wet,
things
wet
like
or
that.
Dry?
Oh, wet, man. Come on. I mean, you can do dry.
Yeah. Ribs, come on, even just like thinking about it.
You gonna put
like,
the sauce on it anyway?
I'm gonna slap myself.
Yeah, come on, man. You gotta put the sauce on it. You know, you gotta have the sauce. But yeah, so like things like that. I don't know. I'm a huge salad person, man. You know, my aunt, you know, thank her, you know, for at least trying to put the healthy bug a little bit in my ear, you know. I'm a big salad person. I always joke with her because, you know, like she always like tried to, you know, like not fry a lot of foods when we were like growing up. So it's like, man, I always joke with her, like, man, I didn't even like know I loved fried chicken like that until I got to Hampton, man. Just like, you know, fried chicken was on Friday, I think, or some crazy day like that. But I was in there just maxing. I'm like, yeah, this is a hit, you know. But yeah, I would say salads, barbecue, brunch. Brunch is a big thing for my aunt. You know, she really likes the brunch. You know, we've always had like the waffle maker of some sort, you know, things like that. But really, you know, like growing up with my grandma, you know, she was legally blind by the time we were 12. So we had like a lot of freedom, you know, at home, you know, like she would go and we could get whatever we wanted from the grocery store, you know, and we could come home, and, you know, it was just kind of playing around with stuff. So it's like, you know, on a daily, it's like I'm cooking a majority of my meals by the time I'm like, you know, like 13, 14. And it's like, I didn't even realize, you know, I guess you kind of get it because you go to other people's houses and you see like the setup. But it's like, I'm not even realizing that until I get to college that a lot of people can't do a lot of these things. You know,
sure.
Like, I'm thinking like everybody has like the skill set, you know, they just don't do it all the time or whatever. But it's like, man, you know, people start talking about, yeah, we're going to, you know, have a little barbecue, we're going to grill or whatever. And you're like, oh, man, y'all lost.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me help y'all out for y'all to kill us with this chicken. Everybody want to get the chicken first.
I mean, I was clowning the Memorial Day burgers.
Oh, man, you know, they got a little extra love.
Oh, my God.
But the hot link was a hit. You got to have a hot link with
Nikki,
the cheese.
That was Nikki. Nikki brought the hot links.
The hot links,
like, those things
were
on point. Yeah, those things were fire.
I knew I was in good hands when I saw the hot link on the little foil piece. Before I even folded back to look at them, I knew where it was.
Yeah, I get really like particular about shit where I'm just like, yo, like even if I go to like Wingstop and they don't like put enough lemon pepper on it, or when I say well done, like leave it in the fryer till it like really, really like needs to come out type of situation. I'm just like, yo, like it didn't take that much effort just to do it right.
Man.
Like that gets on my nerves.
Say
but
it again.
I will not send something back unless it's like egregious. But I don't think I've ever sent anything back at a restaurant.
Okay.
Even if it's like the wrong thing, I'm just like, you know what? Like, I just know not to come here, or like to know what I'm getting into next if I ever do decide to come back here. But most of the time, especially in Portland, where there's so many restaurants and stuff, if they're lacking, I'm just not coming back. And it's just like, I learned my lesson.
That's such a funny situation, always thinking about like sending food back and like hearing people's perspective from like a guest standpoint.
Yeah.
And then like me being on the other side of the curtain. And it's always funny to think about it. For me, I mean, as a server, I don't mind if you send it back. Honestly, it's like I'm willing to go back here and take this hit from the kitchen or the manager or whatever, because at the end of the day, it's supposed to be about the guest experience. I don't ever want anybody to do like you said, like, you know, come, you know, and just be like, oh, okay, whatever, I'm just going to take it. And then, you know, like it happens twice because we don't even, because sometimes it's like not understanding, you know, like, you know, like message sent, but was it received type thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also just judging, like, I think Portland as a city in general doesn't place a high value on hospitality front of the house. It's like, yo, do y'all even want us here? Like, there's just like, I'm just not going to look at you and you're going to have to like get my attention for shit. I'm like, All right. I guess we'll do this the hard way. It's just called interpersonal skills. Hello. Can we take a beginner's fucking course? Every single place. I'm like, yo, but then you'll meet like a sweetheart. I'm like, why can't everybody be like you?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think the dining experience here in general is like a little different because, you know, like you'll go to like a high end like restaurant here and, you know, like, it'll be like people in a sweatsuit still, you know what I mean? Like it can be like a Michelin star restaurant, but you know, people are gonna show up in their like freshest hoodie and like the ones, you know, like the holy grails of ones, you know? So, I mean, I think that puts like the restaurant in a situation where they don't wanna come on like too over professional. But then in general, I mean, I think that's just service, you know? Like they're gonna be people who like come in and they like really, you know, like have that loving vibe to it. And I mean, really, that's the best way to do it, you know, because if you come into it and you just like trying to get to know people and you chilling and you like trying to help people, you know, make the best decisions and on the whole thing, you know, the experience is good. They like you, you like them, tip is fat and they out of here, you know, it's no complaint, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's always been my philosophy on it. But I don't know. I know what you're saying about, you know, like people are just like,
yeah, just like everywhere, like look everywhere but at me. Type of thing. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll just ignore you too. I'm like, I don't want to be that person. Yeah. I don't want to be the person walking down the sidewalk and then see someone walking towards me and then just like not even like making eye contact. Like that shit's fucking weird.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm just like, I can tell like 20 feet out, I'm like, oh, this person's just not going to acknowledge my presence at all. And I got to like figure out where I'm going to fix my eyes and just hold them there the whole time. And it's just like, ugh, just gives me like the creeps.
Living in this building, man, you already see it. Every time I get on the elevator, I speak to everyone. You know, even when it was COVID and it was mask on, I was still speaking. And it's so interesting to see, like, you know, like the breakdown on like when you'll get the interaction, like interaction, when you'll get like a cold one, or when you'll get like, you know, like this just nothing. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll take that back and put that in my pocket. But I don't know. What I realize is I can't let people break me on that. Because that's a terrible way to start moving. And that's only going to limit the amount of opportunities you have in life, you know? Like, even just, like, thinking about this, like, new opportunity I have, you know, like, coming up for me, like, I'm excited about all of it, you know? Like, I'm excited about all of the interactions and, like, those little things that you're saying, like, where people feel like you're not trying to, like, even, like, acknowledge them or you're like standoffish or like not interested. Those are the things that I'm excited about getting to like really get into and like understand why it is that people move like that and how to get people to want to move the other way. Because I mean, you can try and tell people what to do, but ultimately until they want to do something different, they're going to keep moving the same way.
And you have to show them and give them an example of something that they've never considered before. It's like, oh, people can be like that.
Yeah.
People can love themselves and be happy and, and welcoming and not want anything from me, like that last part, like not want anything from me, just wants to make sure that I'm having a good time. That, I feel like, is like your superpower. And I've seen it in action at many different like environments. And it's just like, yo, like,
that's
like, we're here to have fun type of thing.
That is work though, man.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, you can go back like, and you can look at like some of my school pictures and I have like my arms crossed with a frown, like
mad.
But I mean, that's just like, I think just like not being comfortable with myself, because like we were saying before, you're allowing these people around here to like kind of affect your perception of yourself and your self-identity and like your esteem in a certain way. So it's like, when you say that, it's because at this point, I think you see me as an individual, and I feel someone who's just like, this is who I am, you know, like I always joke and I'm like, man, she gonna have to love me chunky because I don't know if I'm getting back in shape, you know, like I'm active, you know, I'll go hike, I'll go run, you know, I do my yoga, but who knows? The six pack may be over, boo. We did that. That was fun. Yeah. So I think that's really what it is. It's just me just being comfortable with who I am and allowing that happiness about knowing that I'm comfortable and happy with who I am to kind of like be spread, you know, around on other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I experienced that like in rooms where I used to like want to have like my elevator pitch just ready because I just didn't know who I was going to be meeting at any particular time. So I had to be like, oh, this is what I'm about. These are my values because I only have 15 minutes like with this person and I don't know if I'm ever going to see them again. And just like almost like needy and needing to prove something. And now I can be in a room with like the most powerful people, like in a city, and not feel like I have to be on and say like the right thing and deliver a flawless execution. Like I'll share and stuff, but it's like, I'm still worthy if I talk to nobody in here. And
facts.
It took a long time to like get to that place. And it's constant work to like look at all the things I've done and be like, oh shit, like you did that shit. Oh fuck. Like it's almost to the point where I just forgot like a lot of the shit over the last year.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, that was a big thing that I just didn't really like highlight or make it into a big thing. But I should probably appreciate that opportunity, but hold myself as somebody that gets shit done.
How many episodes are we on?
Crazy. I am releasing 100 next week.
There it is. Yeah, get so shit
this will be
done.
This will be 102. But I started this pre-pandemic, like, or actually it was right when the pandemic started, and I was just like, I have to say something.
Yeah.
I can't go forward like just letting the fucking B team, as far as just like people who are like leading the charge, as far as just like media presence and voices and stuff. I'm like, they're giving the mic to these fucking idiots out here who have no fucking sense. It's like, I'll be damned if I live another day not like screaming my truth. Like, this is what my experience, what I've been through, and sharing the stories of all these beautiful people in the city that I've met. Just because we're not fucking on TMZ, like acting a fool, it's like people only think that famous people are the talented ones. It's like, no, it's like there's people around you that are fucking doing dope shit, but you're not supporting them.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is that shit come from? Where it's like, you're going to go out there and like support fucking Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He has enough money. He has enough attention. It's like, go support like the buff dude at 24 Hour Fitness who's starting his own like little clothing line or whatever. Like everyone's out here like trying to make it, but it's like we're giving our money and attention to people who don't give a fuck about us.
I feel you on that, man. And I think I speak for a lot of people when I say we appreciate what you do with this platform and the way you approach it. I always think back to that Virgil episode that you did. I think it was the Virgil one, and you had a guy on there. And he was talking about his professor here at PSU was saying, beautiful work is complete work.
Yes.
And I think about those words all the time. I can say comfortably that even if that's the only episode I ever heard, ever listened to, I could say that that statement touched me and made me think about things in a different way, you know, and made me truly, truly like want to like do something and like see it through all the way through. Like that's the thing with like all of this catering stuff that I do. It's like you have to see it through, you know. Like there's a point where you're like, oh man, I'm just so tired of doing all this, or you get frustrated because like one part of it, one element isn't like what you want it to be. And it's like, but you realize like I have to finish. Like I can't just leave. I can't just not show up, you know. Like I have to go. I have to do it. And, you know, like that truly, truly motivates me in those moments. Just that statement alone.
Most definitely. Shout out to Tyrone Spencer. Another person that I just like met on a whim. Never met him in person. Ever. Just talked to him over the phone through another friend, my friend Rob Darmore. That's like the magic of this city. Like he's down in L.A. like designing clothes for LRG. And had a conversation and then reached out to him because he's in the same design field and said those beautiful words and shared his story. But it's like, look at the impact it made like in your life. It's like that, like beautiful work is complete work. Just seeing things through. When I was young, like I'd always have ideas and I would like look around to see like who like was down to ride with me. I'm like, hey, who's going to like see this through? Like I see, I have the vision. Let's do this together. And when I didn't get buy-in from other people, like I would just quit. And I would just stop and then I would just move on to the next thing, or I just let it linger. But there was just zero follow through, and realizing that I think the act of moving to Portland was the first time I ever followed through with something outside of just like paintings and stuff and art and stuff like that. But like that was the most substantial, like have an idea and follow through to the very end and then start essentially a new life. But then throughout the years, just like having ideas and projects and knowing that like, yeah, like I like collaborating with people, but most of the time I'm going to have to do all of these things on my own. Whether that's even like sending like an email to somebody inquiring about something, you got to write it. You have to press send at some point. Like you can't just like wait around and say like, oh, like, are people going to like support me? Like I need a guarantee. I need a tally to see all the people that are going to support me. Then I'll go do the thing. It doesn't work like that. You got to do the thing over and over and over and over again. And then you'll get like one half clap. And then it's like, oh, okay. And it's like, you got distracted just for that moment because you cared so much about that half clap. Like, no, that's distract. That's wasted energy. Get back to doing your thing, start the next project, finish the next project. But yeah, that's something I feel like I've tapped into where one, there are no rules. Like you could literally go out here and do anything you want. It's just like making sure that we're like mentally, I guess, healthy to just like understand the undertaking and not place too much of that energy on the outside perspectives or what people want or don't want when we realize they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's real, man. That is real, man. It's wild to even think about that, really, you know? It's wild to think, like, once you really do it, all you had to do was do it. You know what I mean?
It's just say yes. Say yes and just do the thing you said you were going to do.
Yeah.
That's all it ever is do the thing you said you were going to do.
And isn't it crazy how rare it is that people do the thing that they said they were going to do? Oh, my God.
But it's like you look around and you think that everybody's doing the things that they said they were going to do. So when I'm walking outside, I'm like, oh, they're doing the things that they said they were going to do? They're doing this? And I hold everybody, like you said, like, does everybody have this skill set? You just assume that everyone, like, you're a walking, living, breathing human. Of course, like, you follow through with the things. But it's like we're all inherently flawed. Like there's things in certain areas of my life that I don't follow through on.
Yeah.
And there's things that like the visible things, it's like, oh yeah, like he's doing this, he's doing that. But like, there's plenty of things where I'm just like, yo, like you've been lacking on this for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true, man. And it hurts to think about those things because it you're does. Like, I know I should just do this.
Yeah.
And once I start doing it, it's not going to be that hard to do it.
Yeah. It's like I'm fully capable of doing it, but there's like a little tiny bit of fear and disassociation because I'm putting energy in certain things that I care about deeply. And it's not to say I don't care about those other things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like that, like going through like the dirt and like the mud and like working through that, not knowing how long you're going to be in that like dungeon.
Yeah. But I mean, that was kind of like my vibe coming into like this year, you know, like at on Christmas Day last year, I lost a very, very special man in my life, Larry Hogg. He was one of my best friends growing up. He was his dad. He was a pastor in the church. And the thing about staying the night at Brandon's house, you stayed the night at Brandon's house on Saturday. You had to go to church on Sunday.
That's a good friend.
Yeah, it was a good friend. He was a really good friend to this day. Yeah. Just, you know, being over there on Saturdays, staying on Sundays, going to church, you know, I started to get a vibe for it. And then, you know, Brandon started using me. It was funny to get out of church. He had one of them long black churches, you know, like where you go, you have Bible study, that's 2 hours. You get a snack, service is another 2 hours. And, you know, everyone would want to stand around. Brandon would have basketball practice on Sundays. So, like, he would get to leave early on Sunday, and I would get to leave early with him to take him to basketball practice. But, yeah, we lost Pastor Hogg on Christmas Day last year. And I mean, what a day to go home. But Christmas, you know, it just brings it all full circle for a man who spent his whole life doing so much for so many people in that community. So, you know, with him passing, you know, my first thought was, first, I got to go to the funeral. You know, the funeral is, you know, supposed to be the first week of January. 2 days before the funeral, I get in an accident out here. Doing DoorDash was the worst part. I was taking a breakfast burrito to somebody, slid into the back of another car. I just canceled the order and ate it. Sorry. I needed that more than you did at that moment,
my
boo.
God.
But yeah, I mean, not being able to go to that funeral, it really, you know, it really touched me in a way because I had to stay here and kind of sort things out. But then right behind that, I ended up going home for the entire month of January and helping out with my grandmother. You know, she's 92 years old. You know, thank God for, you know, continuing to give her another day. And, you know, we were trying to find somebody to take care of her. You know, the person who was supposed to take care of her had to go back to school, and we were struggling to find another person. So I just got to spend that time at home with them. And it's like, you know, I'm there, and, you know, like, I'm working, you know, trying to, you know, schedule the catering events. But it's like, I'm just seeing the sacrifices that, you know, people like my aunt make every day. Like, my grandma lives in the house with them. And, I mean, you have to wake up. You have to give her the pill. You have to, you know, like, get her out of bed. You know, you give her, like, a bath right there in the bed, you know, like, every day, like, type thing. And it's like, to see that that's the sacrifice she does on top of being, you know, a doctor for the past 30 years. It's like crazy to think that I think that I have the audacity to just like sit here on the couch and just like be high watching TV all day, you know, and just falling asleep and just like being lazy and wasting time, you know. Like, so many people have put so much effort and, you know, sacrifice into me getting to the point to be able to live here and have these things and know about these things. So when I got back here, it was just like hitting the ground running, you know, like. Even last weekend, you know, like, we're joking because, like, I'm at Bricks bartending, and I've never even really been to Bricks, you know. Like, I'm just through a friend of a friend. They need somebody, I'm there, you know. It's like I'm working 20 jobs, you know, just trying to figure it out, trying to stay in the mix, trying to stay in the hustle. And ultimately, you know, that hustle pays off, you know. But it's just crazy to think, you know, that losing that person motivated me in that way to say, I'm not just going to sit around and do nothing this year. You know, I'm about to get after it in several aspects of my life. You know, I'm calling it right now. I'm running the marathon too, baby.
I'm signed up for a half.
Really? Yeah, I did a half.
Let's go to October.
Yeah.
Sign up.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll send you the link.
All right.
All right. Cool. Cause I'm like dreading the prep for it. Cause I'm in like beast mode right now. I've been like lifting and I'm just like getting big, but now I'm just like, oh fuck, I got to like start training, but it's going to be in October, so we got a few months to
see. I'm tracking cross country though. Yeah, I used to get them miles in, baby.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm absolutely not. I'm gonna run like when I'm like on like in a public place. I'm gonna run like what I would want other people to see me as running. So like the style is kind of like a little bit off. I'm like, I don't want to run like a goofy. So I'm like, I'm just like,
you got to get your stride, man.
Yeah, but I that's mean, the that's thing. Just I don't have the stride. I don't have the stride. But yeah, thank you for sharing that story. And it's wild how like death is a huge motivator. It's like once you reach that ground floor level and you see the sacrifices and learn to appreciate the journeys that our friends and family and mostly like our family, because it's like this, like we're a part of them, and just seeing like what they did for us to be here, just surviving, like that's the testament. Like us being here is a testament to them being able to survive when a world wants to see them destroyed.
Yeah.
It's like no punches pulled. Like that's what this world is, like especially for Black men and women and people of color of all kinds. But it's like this world is very violent towards us. And like when we spend time with our grandparents and really like sit and listen, and I wish I had more opportunities to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where I'm like, oh my gosh, like I wish I like sat a little bit longer on the porch in Youngstown, Ohio, and just like one more night on the couch on the porch with the cooler, everyone just chilling, like sitting on the banister and just like listening to grandpa talking. It's like, what the hell? Like, I would give everything for that. Or like one more round of golf with my mom. It's like all of that. But I think both of us carry like that appreciation in how we decide to move through the world and how we decide to connect and treat people, because we're just a reflection of all of the lessons that our family has taught us. And it's just like, oh, like we're like the actualized version of uncle or cousin when they find their confidence and when they find their self-worth. And it's like the lessons of the past of our family is the lessons that we have that are on our plate. And it's like, oh, I see the lesson and I have to go and engage with it and transcend the trauma and elevate into this new world that we're creating.
Yeah, man.
What's it like being a twin?
It's really like, this is going to sound corny, it's like a gift that keeps on giving, because it just keeps, it just builds, it just keeps building. The easiest way to explain it, if you and somebody else for the past 30 years both saw pretty much the same exact things, we may not be able to talk to each other like telepathy, but we can both look at that plant over there and think about somebody from third grade whose ears used to look like that plant.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's just like a constant joke, and it just builds. And I mean, it's funny because we did not get along growing up. Mm-hmm. You got to think about it. Like, people always pit you against each other. Who's smarter? Who's stronger?
Who's faster?
Who gets more girls? Like, who gets the cuter girls? Oh, your girlfriend's ugly. You know, like, I always think back to like one moment that really was like, man, we got to figure this out. I was working at Abercrombie and Fitch. And I would buy the T-shirts. And one time I had this just like a basic gray T-shirt. And I hadn't even taken the tag off of it. It was in my closet. And my brother put it on talking about he's about to go on a date or something. I'm like, hold on, bruh. So I confront him at the bottom of the stairs, right? My brother used to wrestle. So, you know, wrestling is just like human pit bull fights. You know, you take two people, they ate all month. And then you'd be like, get them. So, like, he used to, like, be, like, on E all the time. And I just crushed him right in the stomach, straight body shot, man. Crumbled that, man. I felt so bad. I just stepped over him like Teron Lewin and went upstairs and went in my room, bro. But, I mean, honestly, it was when, you know, he got out of wrestling at like 19 after his sophomore year of college. I'm transferring back to be closer with the family and kind of help out. You know, like that summer, like as bogus as it is, we got smacked like drunk every day, you know, and it's like just through that time we were able to like hash out those stories. And now, I mean, like that's my best friend, you know, like if we don't live in the same place, then we would talk on the phone every day, you know, like when I lived in LA, he moved to LA. I lived in Chicago, he moved to Chicago. Same thing here with Portland, you know, like it's just like a bond that's going to forever be there. And, you know, people always, when we were little, we joke like, what are we going to do, grow up and live next door to each other and be married and have our families right next door? And now you'd be like, that shit would be wrong.
That shit, like, you know, like nobody gets to experience that. So it's like, might as well.
We would have like a little community right there on the block.
That'd be dope. My brother and I didn't have a great relationship growing up. Like, we're 2 years apart, which may have been 20 years when I was young. I was like, oh yeah, like he's my little brother. But I'm like looking on the phone, I'm like, we're the same age. Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you talking about? He's fucking 31 right now. It's like, he's a grown ass man with a business with his girl. But it's just like, to establish like clear communication with our brothers. And I don't know, for me, seeing the positive traits of my mother, like when I see my brother, I see my mother. I'm just like, oh, his heart is so big. And he just wants, similarly, like he just wants to see people happy. And he's just of service to the world. However he can make any situation like positive and happy, like he's going to be that person. Like he's brings like the lightning rod into any situation. And he's a hard worker, just like a beautiful soul. And over the last few years, it's just like our communication and just how often we talk and we say, I love you and all that kind of shit that we didn't do when we were growing up. I'm like, oh, like you're the only person that like really, really cares about me. I'm like, everybody else is cool, but like nobody hears like the chatter. Like, I'll give him some of like the thought process and the chatter that I kind of withhold. I don't know, but who knows, by now it's like people listening to this are probably like, nah, we hear the chatter too. Like, we get it as well.
Hey man, that's hilarious. Yeah. But I mean, family really is like the only people like you can really, really say, you know, 100% like care about you, you know? And I mean, I always say like you can build family. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be the one that you're grown into. Like, I feel like I have multiple families, but when you consider someone like family, like I'm looking at that, like this is someone that I know really cares about my well-being and like, you know, like how I'm going to fare out here, you know, like one of the people I'm always with is like Jasmine Finley out here. You know, like I've known Jazz since high school. You know, she's from Belleville, which was like 15 minutes from Edwardsville. And Belleville is like right there at Scott Air Force Base. So like all of like, you know, like the mixed girls like in middle school, high school, you know, are like living over there because their families are like these mixed families with the Air Force. So we used to just drive up to like O'Fallon and Belleville and like hang out. And just like, you know, like knowing her then, and then like reconnecting with her out here now, it's like, you know, like that's like family to me at this point. You know, like that is my sister, you know?
Yeah. this should not be a controversial statement, but Jasmine is the best dressed person in Portland.
Oh, hands down. It's like, not even by close.
By far. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
Like, you just have to step back and just give it what it is.
The swag is there. I'm just like, yep. Like, you win.
Undefeated every time.
For sure, for sure.
And somebody's going to let her know every day.
Never lacking. Dope. I can have this conversation. This is our conversation, like, every time, like, we kick it. We don't typically go this deep.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we definitely, like, got to spend this time and, like, invest in our, like, relationship. And that's kind of, like, that's, like, what I'm super grateful for is, like, all these beautiful people.
Yeah.
Smart, intelligent, ambitious people, like, doing things, like, leading their own path and discerning it along the way rather than following this fucking stagnant ass model that other people failed at and want you to like fail at too. It's like, wait, but you're not doing good because you followed that shit. Like, why you want me to go do that shit too? No, I'll pass. I'll go a different direction.
Yeah.
But on that message, is there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the main thing I got going on right now is just took this position as the GM over at 23 Hoyt. And I think that'll be an interesting experience. I'm excited about what that'll bring for the next chapter of my life and my development in this like hospitality lane that I've, you know, like pretty much made my like life at this point, you know. It's like, it's a beautiful journey as much as it sucks, you know. As many days as you're like frustrated and thinking like, do I want to do this anymore? You know, it's just a blessing to continue to be given opportunities to grow and to see that people acknowledge the steps that I'm making, see the hard work that I'm putting in to try and do these things, even in the interim period where there are no jobs to go to. And, you know, and it's to finally be rewarded for some of those things, I think is probably the most exciting thing I have going on for me right now. But that's about it.
That's beautiful. No, we all recognize your impact and on the city and all your friends and family. It's like your presence is appreciated. It's felt like, yeah, if we don't learn anything, it's like we all appreciate you and the energy that you bring.
That's love, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
I am Ray_Thatch on pretty much just Instagram. I mean, Snapchat is dangerous. Twitter, I never got in that lane. That always seemed dangerous.
Yeah. Say the wrong thing.
Oh, man. Everybody did it there for a second. But as soon as I realized where it was going, I had to get up out of there.
Yeah. Well, it's like you could go back. Like, I know I said some fucked up shit like 10, 12 years ago. It's like y'all can look now if you want to. But it's like I'm not going to allow that to affect me today.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you took the time to go
back and find
back
that.
To a 17-year-old and you're going to hold me accountable for that today. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if the whole city of Portland is like, we don't fuck with Aaron anymore because he said, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. If that's how you think, fuck you.
You pretty much.
Fuck you.
Pretty much.
Dope.
Little rant.
Well, thank you, Ray. And thank you all for listening to Opening Presents.